Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This hour is being brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto, online at CarX.com. Ray, let's talk with Steve Stone.
Color analyst for the White Sox, Steve Stone joins Lawrence Holmes.
When I started out, and Harry was my partner, he said to me, "You will find your identity." It turned out that I felt that my identity was going to be to teach as many people as I could the game of baseball.
Steve Stone is a Cy Young Award winner, and he is a score baseball expert.
Being an analytics guy, I would have known that a sub-6-foot-tall right-handed starting pitcher in the major leagues, the odds were infinitesimal. But if there was a contest that had a winner, I could never understand why it shouldn't be me.
Social media god.
A lot of people love you, especially the people you haven't blocked.
I've been blocking more than Tom Brady's line.
Steve Stone talks with Lawrence Holmes right now on The Score.
And Stoney joins me on the Circuit Resort and Casino Hotline. Circuit Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. White Sox have the day off before they start a trip down to Houston tomorrow. I am looking forward to that, and I imagine that Steve Stone is too, considering that they swept Detroit and are on a three-game win streak. Hey, Stoney.
Hello, Lawrence. We're actually in Houston already, the city, as you know, of great humidity. And normally it's very warm. Today is one of those days where it's still very warm. And fortunately, the humidity's up, and it's great for the skin.
Yeah, that's been the case in Chicago as well. We had like heat indices in the 110s along with that humidity. So, yes, it has been quite the last few days, but it's good. The White Sox bats have matched the heat in both Chicago, Detroit, and Houston. So what do you think we looked at when we looked at the White Sox offense against Detroit? Were we just looking at a team that's really fallen on hard times and the White Sox took advantage of it, or is there something more there?
Well, look, it's one thing to play a team who is not doing very well and another thing to take advantage. And those are the teams that you have to crush. And the Sox historically have done a very good job against the Tigers, especially of recent vintage. You have some guys who have completely dominated this Detroit team. One of them is Dylan Cease. He's 10-0 lifetime against the Tigers. So even though he struggled a bit early in his last outing, he did win the ball game, and you have Jose Abreu, who just finds a way to kill the Tigers, and he continued to do that. We also saw some life out of Yoan Moncada, which was a wonderful sign because, you know, we've talked from the beginning, and Yoan has struggled mightily. That's not a secret, but he's one of the keys to this team because of his left-handed bat. He swung it okay from the right side, but left-handed he really struggled, and the Sox do need as many left-handed contributors as they can get because it's a predominantly right-handed lineup, which falls prey to many right-hand pitchers with very good sliders. A lot of teams do, but the Sox can't start, you know, 5 and 6 meaningful left-hand hitters to negate some of the prowess of those real good sliders and curveball pitchers, of which the predominance is right-handed starters in not only the Sox division, but in the league.
Moncada has been struggling with velocity. Yesterday, 5 hits, 5 RBIs, got a home run. It was great to see. But velo has been his enemy. When a batter's struggling to catch up to fastballs, as a pitcher, what does that tell you?
Well, there's a couple of different things. Number one, if you're an older player and you have trouble catching up to fastballs, it's probably a tip-off that your bat speed is sinking because every one of these guys who has a major league uniform has hit fastballs everywhere they've ever been. If you can't hit a fastball, well, then you're going to work as a server in a restaurant or you're going to sell insurance. You're going to do a lot of different things. But all major league hitters can hit fastballs. And so there comes a time when if you're late on the fastball, you take a look at the video, your hitting instructor will make a suggestion or two. You might do a couple of different things. You can raise your hands up. You can lower your hands some. You can get off the plate a bit more. You can do a number of things, but the one thing that I noticed, and it seems to be kind of endemic to baseball of recent vintage, I see guys standing in the batter's box in the identically same position, whether he's facing a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, or he's facing a guy with a great slider, or he's facing a soft-tossing left-hander, or he's facing a guy with a terrific changeup. He is in the same spot in the batter's box. He's not up. He's not back. He's not closer. He's not farther. He's in the same spot. And you have to assume that he wants to catch every pitch in the same spot or he would change. My feeling is it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what business you're in. But when you're finding something that doesn't work, you got to change what you're doing. And I don't see a lot of guys willing to do that. They used to do it more a couple generations ago in the game than they're doing now, and there are still some hitters who will make some adjustments. But not a lot of hitters will do that, and consequently, the slumps get a little deeper, the batting averages sink a bit more, and, you know, it's the great guys that keep high batting averages consistently. And so I think that's something that more hitters should entertain. I don't want to give away anything for my pitching brethren who might really enjoy hitters in the same spot consistently over and over, but that's really the case. You need to adapt. You need to adjust. This is a game of constant adjustment, and hitters have to do that because right now I think, what, league average is in the neighborhood of 237, 238, 236, something along that line. It's at historic lows, and it's because pitchers are getting much better, but hitters are very slow to react.
How did you feel when you call a game where you see not one, not two, but three position players pitch in it?
Well, there's a couple of different things that come to mind. Number one, I think it's comic relief to a certain extent. You're getting your brains beat out, and then all of a sudden you see your shortstop or your catcher or something along those lines going out there. I think one of the ways, and A.J. Hinch addressed it when he said, you know, look, we've got no off days coming up. We got a tired bullpen. I wanted to make sure that I didn't deplete that pen any further, but I also wanted to make sure that our guys were throwing 50-some miles an hour. And the reason is you don't want to see a position player trying to get it up to 85 to 90 miles an hour for a couple of different reasons. Number one, they're not usually that close to the hitter. So when something comes off the bat 100-plus miles an hour, a defender is almost without exception at least 90 feet away, sometimes a little closer if he's playing for the bunt on the corners. But more times than not, they have a chance to react. I don't think position players, and certainly the normal person watching a game, he can't conceive of how fast that ball comes back to you and how difficult it is to defend yourself, especially in what has become a max effort era. You have guys thrown as hard as they can. They fall up drastically to the glove hand side, which means if you're a right-hand pitcher, you're falling off to first base, left-hander to third base. You can't defend yourself because the glove is not in a position to get it up fast enough that the ball is at your head. So obviously you don't want anybody hurt. A.J. Hinch said keep it at 50 miles an hour. So my feeling is this. Number one, when I hear the suggestion you can only have 13 pitchers on a team, my first reaction is, why? If you want to tie your manager's hands with less moves off the bench, but strategically go to more pitchers, why don't you allow them to have 16? Who cares? As long as you're having this three-hitter minimum with pitchers, where you can't go lefty-righty, lefty-righty, lefty-righty ad nauseum, have as many pitchers as you want to. You want to tie your manager's hands with moves where he can't pinch hit or pinch run late or whatever the case may be, that's fine. That's part of the strategy of the game. That's part of where you're going to be if you have a tired bullpen. But I think that's a strategic decision all teams should be able to make. That's one of the reasons why I am not in favor of any rule that changes the strategy of the game. Strategy of the game is part of the beauty of baseball, and that allows fans to sit and manage along with the managers, perhaps along with the general managers. That's what the beauty of baseball really is. Everybody believes they can do it. But when you want to change things to take strategy away, to me, that runs contrary to what I believe is the beauty of baseball.
Were people on Twitter asking you about a slaughter rule?
Well, they were. And as far as the slaughter rule is concerned, there's a couple of different things that come to mind. Number one, if you want to have, let's say after seven innings, you want to have a 10-run rule, 12-run rule, whatever the number is. A couple of different things. If you want to have that, that's fine. If you had multiple pitchers in your bullpen, then you could do that. You could have a couple extra pitchers, and you wouldn't have to throw position players because, you know, Jose Canseco tried to throw knuckleballs when he pitched one day for Texas, and his elbow blew out. You don't want your star players blowing out, getting hurt, doing something they're not used to doing. That's number one. Number two, if you do have a slaughter rule and you end the game after seven innings, you come afoul of a couple of different things. One is you might have a fan who comes to two or three games a year. This is one of the games he's coming to. You're ending the game early. So my feeling is if you want to give your pitchers a break and end the game after seven innings, reward the fans. Give the fans either a free ticket to a coming up game or give them a hot dog, maybe a libation or so. In other words, give the fans something that takes the sting away from you cutting your game short. That's one of the things you can do because I'm always concerned about the fans and how baseball will grow, which is one of the reasons why I was not particularly happy to see baseball contract by 20% for their minor leagues. I know it's a savings of money, but I also know in some of these small towns around our great country, minor league baseball is all they have during the summertime.
Yep.
And you take that away, number one, you're not growing the game. Number two, if I have, and let's just use, I don't know, let's use, well, the White Sox, or you can take any team. They have a minor league team in a small city in the Midwest or the Northwest or anywhere else you care to mention. And you're going to make baseball fans. And the people of that city are going to gravitate to the players they see, but more to the organizations that they've come to get familiar with. Consequently, you're going to make baseball fans not only of the adults, but of the kids growing up. They're going to be fans, or they might gravitate to a guy coming in, a star coming in from another organization, and they might become a Cardinal fan. I don't really care if they're a fan of baseball, and that's how you grow the game. That's how you keep the interest in baseball nationally. And so for me, when I saw a 20% reduction in minor league cities, it meant to me there were 20% of the people in this country who don't get a chance to see what I think is the greatest game we have going. You don't get a chance to make fans that will be lifetime fans for a game that you want to grow. And to me, the object is to grow the game, not contract the game. Increase the interest, not reduce the interest. And do everything else that allows fans all over the country to be introduced and reintroduced to a beautiful game that is leisurely. It's a summertime activity. The family can do it because it's still a family game. And anything that flies in the face of that, to me, is detrimental to this game.
Yeah, I know a couple of friends that are White Sox fans because they went to games in Birmingham. You know, Barons fans. And like Birmingham and White Sox baseball and Birmingham and baseball has a really rich tradition. So seeing their love for this organization from that, to me, it's always stuck in my mind as being something that's really important.
Well, a great and very short story, and I'll make it shorter. One of the pitchers didn't bring his uniform with him, and I had pitched the night before. So they put me in the stands to chart the game, and I sat next to two folks who were great Dodger fans, and this was in Bakersfield. It was a Dodger Class A California League team. And we got to talking during the game, and they wound up inviting me over their house, and I had never heard the word. I was 21 years old, had never heard the word taco before. We didn't have many of those in Cleveland at the time. They served me tacos. I love them. That was terrific. But they also introduced me to something else, Lawrence. They introduced me to a book that was written about Sandy Koufax. And at the time, the first half of my first year, I was 3-10 with a 6-point ERA, striking out 12 guys a game. Everybody I wasn't striking out was doubling up the gap. And in that book, Sandy Koufax said, "The best pitch in baseball is not the fastball, the curveball, the slider, the change. The best pitch in baseball is strike one. It sets up a defensive at bat, and if you concentrate and throw strike one, you will dominate hitters." And he gave his average at a one strike count and then a 1-2 count. Hitters hit like 119 off him. Now, he was an all-time great. But a normal pitcher like myself looked at that and said, "Wow, I can use this as a guideline for the second half of the year." I wound up, instead of a 6-point ERA, with a 3-6. I won 9 of my next 10 games. It catapulted me to Double-A and later the major leagues after only 2 years in the minors. But without that game in Bakersfield, without the pitcher leaving his uniform home, and without meeting those people, I might not have read that book, and maybe my first year and maybe my career had just changed. And so that's a microcosm of what happens when you have a minor league team in a city that people can gravitate to.
Steve Stone joining me here to talk a little bit of baseball for a few minutes. Lucas Giolito, in his last couple of starts, it's been interesting to see. It seems like to me, you're the expert, so I want to get your viewpoint on this, that batters are going up there looking for his changeup, and they're not afraid of his fastball. That's dipped a couple miles per hour in velocity. Are you seeing that? And if that is the case, what can Lucas do to counterbalance it?
Well, there are some smarter teams, and I remember an opening game that Lucas had against Boston. I don't believe it was this year. When they went up, literally gave up the fastball and just pounded the straight change. It's common knowledge that Lucas throws a lot of those, but look, that is just one weapon in your arsenal. One of the reasons why things have gotten a little tougher for him is that he ditched the curveball because he couldn't command it. That would be something I would be working on all the time, and you work on it in the bullpen under the tutelage of Ethan Katz and maybe get back to that pitch on occasion. He is throwing some pretty good sliders, but you're right, and that's exactly what's happening to him. You have some teams going up and saying, you know what, especially left-hand hitters, because Lucas throws a whole lot of straight changes to left-handers, you know what, I'm going to give up the fastball. If he throws me 3 fastballs, I'm going to sit down. But somewhere in this at-bat, I'm going to see a hittable straight change. And when I do, I'm going to hit it hard. And that's basically what's happening. I don't think it's a lack of stuff from Lucas, but it's something that I'm sure he's noticed, because I do believe that Lucas is a cerebral pitcher. And when that happens, you do a couple of different things. You change your rotation of pitches, the sequencing, which is what, you know, it's a fancy name for the, hey, change speeds, do something else, you know. Everything has a name these days. And understand something, Lawrence. We have a very much of a back-to-the-future approach to baseball. What's new now was old before. This high cutter and high slider that everybody's using, I learned in 1972. It wasn't new then. It's not new now, but people are bringing it back again. One of the things that Lucas might want to do, because his fastball at 93, you know, doesn't have the great life on it. And as you get a little more tired in the course of a year, especially with an accelerated spring training, which, by the way, I believe that everybody in baseball is paying the price for wanting to stuff in 162 games this year with a shortened spring training. You're getting many more hamstring injuries, many more groin injuries, many more arm injuries of various things. We're seeing bullpens decimated. We're seeing aces of starting rotations go by the boards. And we're seeing them, in my estimation, as a direct result of an accelerated spring training. But that being said, maybe guys are not throwing as hard, so maybe Lucas decides, you know what? I think I might try to come up with a cutter. It's not my slider. It doesn't have depth. It's not my fastball because it has some movement. Maybe that's a pitch I can add to my repertoire to keep guys off my straight change. But because this is a game of adjustment, and because you have to continue to battle hitters who are certainly trying to adjust to you on a game-to-game basis, that's a couple of things you have to try. Try something new. If it's not working, you try something new. And if you do that, and if you keep evolving, eventually he's going to go back and be able to lean more heavily on a straight change because people will start looking for the cutter or the slider or the curveball or whatever it is he's going to evolve into.
One more thing, Stoney, before I let you go. The Cubs baseball is coming up on the score in a little bit, and the Cubs are down bad. Like they've lost 9 in a row. What are, when it comes to losing streaks, how do you deal with them as a player? Well, what should be the approach of every player as they're in this spiral of losing?
Well, look, if they made me in charge of anything for one day, and of course they haven't and they won't. But what I would do is go, and it's not only the Cubs, it's, you know, they're not the only team that's losing or on a losing streak. There's a lot of them. I mean, Washington's lost 4 in a row. They're sitting there at 23-42. But I think somebody as an authority figure has to go down and say to each and every player, what happened yesterday is gone. We don't have what's happening tomorrow. So let's look at this. Forget the 9-game losing streak. That's irrelevant. I want you to start by winning the first inning. You win the first inning, then you win the second inning. Every time you come to bat, it's a new world. Nothing that happened before is going to matter. Nothing that's going to happen later in the game do you have right now. So I want you to go up there, and I want you to isolate on each and every pitch. Concentrate each and every play. I want you to make the next occurrence of whatever it is, whether it's a ball being hit to you, whether it's a pitch coming to you, I want you to make that your whole world. We don't have to win the game. The game itself, winning a game, is not that easy to do. But breaking a difficult task down to its simplest parts, which as a pitcher is one pitch at a time. As a hitter, it's the next pitch that's coming to you. You break a difficult goal down to its simplest parts, and then you take care of that. So if you're the Cubs or any other team who's on a losing streak, don't try to win the ball game. Don't try to end the streak. Don't try to win 5 games in a row. Try to win a given confrontation. You try to win that confrontation with the pitcher right now. If you win that and the guy behind you does the same thing and the guy behind him does the same thing, eventually you're going to come out of this. And I learned that wandering off with my mental acuity in Yankee Stadium, trying to beat a team I had never beaten before, the New York Yankees, in a ballpark that was 296 down the left field, the right field line, and it had 7 pull hitting left hand hitters. And I thought, wow, I'm a soft tossing right hander with a curveball, and this is the easiest park in the world for a left hand hitter to hit the ball out. And it was overwhelming. And I thought, wait a second, I don't have to win this game. But what I have to do, I have to make a good pitch to Willie Randolph on the first pitch. Could I do that? Yeah, because I've thrown millions of them. I could make a good pitch to Willie Randolph. And then after making the first pitch, I said, can I make a good second pitch to Willie Randolph? And, of course, the answer was yes. And eventually, you keep making a great pitch to whoever it is you're facing, and you look back after 9 innings and you think, you know what, I strung together a pretty good game. But it's breaking the hole down to its simplest parts, and each and every player, if they're pulling in the same direction with the understanding of this is what we're trying to do, then eventually you're going to break out of this and you're going to start winning some games. And I don't say the Cubs are going to be world beaters this year because they obviously are out-talented by a lot of teams, but the point is they can play better than they're playing. But each and every player has to think the same way, and getting them to think that way is the job of the people in authority, whether it's the mental guy, whether it's the hitting coach, the pitching coach, the front office, or their manager, in this case, David Ross. You've got to get everybody thinking along the same way.
Stoney, as always, great, great stuff. I appreciate it. I'll talk to you next week.
Lawrence, have a good show, and we'll see you down the road, and hopefully the Sox will continue their winning ways.
Yes, go beat the Houstons, please. We could definitely need that. That is Steve Stone, and I really love what he said. Ray, let's put at least the beginning of that chunk about the losing streak on social, because I thought that was really, really good stuff from Stoney. And hopefully the Cubs will bust up this losing streak that they're on. We'll talk about them after a timeout next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
We've got the Cubs coming up in about 13 minutes, and Jed Hoyer, president of baseball operations for the Cubs, spoke a little while ago. The whole thing is 33 minutes long. I'm looking forward to sifting through that later on today, but obviously we don't have that type of time. There is some stuff that Ray was like, we got to play this for the Cubs fans that are getting ready to watch them take on the Padres, getting ready to listen to them take on the Padres. This was Jed a little while ago talking about the approach that David Ross has taken with this team and this team being on a 9-game losing streak.
But through the tough times here, Rossi's been taking a lot of heat on social media and from fans and stuff. Where do you stand with him at this point?
Rossi's great. I mean, I don't know what's been written about that. I mean, I think he's done a great job. He's the same person every day. You know, I think every conversation we have is about how to make guys better. I don't see any issues with him whatsoever. It's difficult. We've had some of the matchup stuff we planned out, or some of the platoons, or some of the things that we had hoped for, haven't materialized. So there's probably times he's not getting the matchups he would want, or things haven't lined up the way we probably planned. And so, been playing with a short bench a lot of times, because of injuries, or our pen's been tired, and so he's had to stay away from guys. So I just think those are the things that, understandably, fans don't always know, like, who's down, who's injured, who's available, who's not. And so I know those things, and so I know the various constraints he's had to work under because of our injuries and things like that. And I think, all things considered, I think he's done a great job. I mean, he's frustrated, I'm frustrated. We sit there at midnight and talk through it, but all the conversations are really productive.
You mentioned long process. If anything, the fans that believed in a shorter, that'd be the one thing you may have lost from fans during this stretch, is like, anyone that thought this might be quick now might think, well, it's going to be another long process, which makes sense. It's only natural that you might think that. What would your response be to that? Like, feeling like, wow, this is going to take a long time.
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know that at all. I think trying to pretend that this current 9-game period has somehow changed that or altered that, I think would be the wrong thing. I don't know. I know what I have a vision to build. I know what we built last time, and I have all the confidence in the world that we're going to get there. But I also, I'm aware that sometimes things speed up, and sometimes things slow down, and I'm not smart enough to know which of those are going to happen. But I do know, and I have the ultimate confidence, I know we're going to be successful, just like I knew that same thing last time. And it doesn't make the day-to-day any easier. It doesn't. But, like I said, I have all the confidence in the world about the quality of the team that we'll build.
When you have that vision and you're going through a season like this, what is the most challenging aspect from your seat?
There's no there's no one that sort of does this for a living that isn't hyper competitive. You can't not be competitive. If you work in sports, you're around a team, your whole adult life, basically. And so there's no way to not on a day-to-day basis, like, you know, sort of live and die with how things are going. It doesn't mean you don't have a long-term vision. It doesn't mean that you can't see, you know, things, you know, how things are going to come together to be successful. Of course you can. But, like, when you're in that moment, that is the ultimate challenge.
Here's some of the numbers during this streak. Cubs ERA during the streak, 8.29. They're 0-29 after trailing after 7 so far this season. Inside this losing streak, they're being outscored 84-26. They're 11-23 at Wrigley, and the starters' ERA for the season is around 5. That's scary stuff. This segment is being brought to you by Amco Transmissions and Total Car Care. Amco Transmissions, your total car care expert, offers up to 12 months, no interest, no financing, and easy payment plans, even if your credit is not perfect. And Amco's free computer and powertrain check will pinpoint the problem accurately. Call 1-800-GO-AMCO. I am looking forward to listening to and reacting to all 33 minutes of Jed Hoyer, and then tomorrow having really kind of digging into it and taking some phone calls from Cubs fans, because I can imagine that the level of frustration is really high, and I completely understand where you're coming from, but I want to hear what Jed has to say, and we'll present it to you and we'll talk about it on tomorrow's show. Thanks to Ray Diaz for all of his hard work. Thanks to Steve Stone for some great content today. I'll be back tomorrow at noon. Have a great rest of your day. Cubs baseball is next on The Score.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable, because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus door busters and a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein. No artificial flavors or colors. No chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.